Welcome to But Jesus Drank Wine
and Other Stories That Kept Us Stuck. I'm Mead.
And I'm Christy.
And in this podcast, we'll explore the stories that kept us, well, stuck, wanting to drink and not wanting to drink all at the same time.
Join us as we show you that freedom from alcohol does not have to mean a life sentence of misery and missing out,
but actually means living an authentic life full of peace, joy, and purpose.
Hello, beautiful friends. How are you all?
Good morning and good afternoon.
Good morning and good afternoon.
And good night. And we're done.
And goodbye.
Oh, no.
Hello, and goodbye.
It's going to be one of those, isn't it? Hi.
I get so excited when we get to just show up and just chat, literally chat. So what are we chatting about today?
Yeah. Free-based, but not on drugs.
Yes.
Riff. Is that rapping?
Well, I was just going to say, where does that come from? Because I know musicians riff. That's a
Is
thing.
Is it guitar?
I'm like, does it come from music or does it come from like British folk? Is riffing
No, it's definitely
British
not
thing?
A British folk thing. What? Wait, let's Google it. Riffing.
What is riffing? Where did that come from?
Play riffs. The other horns would be riffing behind them. So it's a musical thing.
It's a musical thing. Okay. Well, that's what I kind of thought of. But so we are not going to sing and we're not going to play instruments. But
no, we're also not going to freebase anything. But freestyle.
But, oh, yeah. Freestyle. That's
freestyle.
That's the term.
Which feels like it's swimming.
Oh, no.
Okay. Seriously, get it together. Today, we're talking about a very serious topic.
Are you talking to me?
I don't know. We're talking about drinking in secret.
Yeah, this is serious.
Mead, did you ever drink in secret?
Wow, Christy, aggressive. I really didn't. However, I mean...
Wait, you did it? Wait a minute. Seriously?
I mean... Okay, well, this is what I would like to pose. What are we talking about when we say drinking in secret? Define drinking in secret. What does that mean to you?
Oh, okay. Drinking in secret for me meant, well, because like the majority of my drinking career when it was like in its last and final stages of, you know, the last, the 2 years.
Dying a painful death.
Dying a slow and painful death. Chris was basically working crazy late hours, which he did for the majority of our marriage. And so for me, drinking in secret was like I was just home alone and the kids had gone to sleep. And so I wasn't necessarily like hiding anything, but I definitely like tried to throw away bottles where they couldn't like it wasn't obvious that I had gone through a whole bottle if I did. And stuff like that, you know, and not make it so obvious how much I was drinking. And when I would go out, I definitely never advertised how much I drank when I was out.
Yeah,
so for me, that feels like drinking in secret. What are you defining it as?
Okay, yeah, no. Because that's kind of where I was going with it. But I was like, well, I mean, I guess it depends on how it's kind of subjective when you think about like drinking in secret. So is that like, you know, hiding like so, you know, my mind goes to the extreme of like hiding vodka and water bottles and showing like drinking in secret or like, hiding bottles and, or, you know, I know I've had people in my groups talk about like being careful about putting their trash out and having certain, so like that kind of secrecy that comes with really so nobody knows what's going on. Whereas I didn't experience any of that kind of extreme secrecy. But for sure, like Todd didn't travel that much. But when he did, I remember, I always used to say this, like when he would travel, like I didn't like the first night. But so if he was gone for, you know, 2 or 3 days, I didn't like the first night because it was just like an adjustment. But then by the second night, I kind of liked him being gone because I could watch my whatever shows I wanted with, you know, the wine that I wanted and not feel like anybody was judging me, which Todd is the least judgmental person ever. And so I don't think he ever judged my drinking. But there was like if you want to talk about like how I would define that secrecy, there was this little part of me that was like, ooh, I get to be free and nobody has to know that I'm drinking right now. So, yeah. So I guess it's just one of those. And that's where I will be honest. That's where I was starting to notice that as like, ooh, I enjoy doing this by myself where I'm not feeling judged. And it's not that I would have kept it from him if he had asked me about it the next day, or I don't know, maybe I would have. He never did ask me about it. It was just nice to not have to like, I remember the feeling of like, it's just not, it's nice that nobody has to really know what I'm doing right now. So in those terms of secrecy, yeah, that's what I can relate to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And when you were talking, I just actually remembered one of my drinking in secret stories that like in retrospect is now hilarious. And I think I told this maybe on one of our other podcasts, maybe even in my story. But when Carter was born, we had a baby nurse. Did I tell you this?
I don't know if it's here, but yeah, tell the story. This is good.
We had a baby nurse who was helping us with Carter, who was super premature. And after he got out of the NICU, I wanted like help with him. And so she was very like strict though, and like a lot older than me, and was treating me kind of like her daughter in a way, like or child of hers. And I wasn't, there was still certain things I wasn't allowed to eat, like a lot of things actually. She was like making me basically just eat broth and like porridge. It was awful. But she was like, you cannot drink. And I was like, this is not happening. Like I've just spent like 9 months basically not drinking. And I've just had a horrific birth story situation. And I have a 2-year-old at home. So there's no way I'm not drinking. And so I would hide the red wine in my closet upstairs in my room. And at one point she knocked on the door and opened the door to wake me up to, I think, pump. And she was like, have you been drinking? And I was like, no. And she's like, well, your teeth are purple.
Oh, my.
Oh, and then she just shut the door and she never said anything else about it.
So what happened next? Side note,
like before she left, she thanked me for being so incredibly like good with all her rules. And and I was like, yeah. When I was totally hiding the drinks from her.
Oh, like at any time she would leave,
I would. Yeah.
So she was on to you, but then. Did you continue doing that? I mean, that didn't stop it, right?
Thankfully, she wasn't there very long, but it was mortifying. But I also thought at that time, I was really like, this is absolutely like insane, like happy mommy, happy baby. This is the thing that's going to relax me. This is the thing that's going to do all the things we always talk about. And so I was like hard done by her silly rules. Right? Yeah, like
calm down, Karen. It's okay.
Exactly. Apologies to the Karens out there because there are a few of you and we love you.
Oh yeah. So sorry. And now, could we come up with a name that nobody has so that nobody has to be offended by that one? But
yeah, I just heard that story.
Yeah, that's good. So like for the woman who is listening to this podcast, who is like thinking, so like we talk a lot about the social aspect of our drinking and how we're out with our friends and we're doing this. And because our drinking looks like everybody else's, at least for me, it took a long time for me to even know that I could say, that this isn't working for me because it wasn't so clear that I had a problem. And I still don't believe I had a problem, so to speak, but it was an internal problem for me. And I think like kind of one of the things, if we talk about like the opposite of like being in secret, bringing things to the light, so like paying attention to these things where when I was excited that Todd was gone for a night and then I could drink whatever I wanted, I could watch whatever shows I wanted. Like there's something to that, and to pay attention to that is important. And maybe that it like sharing that with somebody maybe is the way to kind of, move forward if this is something you're doing and you don't want to be doing, like telling a person. I guess I've kind of jumped to like the solution and we haven't quite gotten there yet, but.
No, but that's so good. And when you said the thing about like just being alone and being able to watch what you wanted to watch, like I also realized in sobriety that like I am totally an introvert and that I really do recharge alone. Like we've talked about this offline. I think we talked about the first time we met IRL in Charleston. But like, I need that alone time. And so I remember Well, I mean, even now, right? When I get the time, when the kids are either, you know, doing something or, I mean, I go to bed before them half the time. But when I get that time where it's just like an hour of I can just like be alone.
Yeah.
It feels really good. And it feels really good. And it gives me the thing that I was looking for when I was doing the same thing with the glass of wine. But it actually does make you feel better, right? Because you are resting or just even watching something mindless sometimes is like really nice if you've been working and looking after the kids all day, you know?
Well, and I think that's the thing that's underneath that. So like if that is something, if drinking in secret or having that night like where you can watch what you want and drink what you want, like if that is something you're feeling pulled to, something that you like what is underneath that? What is the real desire underneath that? It's relief from the pressures of maybe all eyes on you or people needing things from you. I know that's something that I've always kind of struggled with is that like everybody always needs something from me. And while I cherish my role as a mom and I cherish my role as a wife and a friend and a daughter, all of those things, like I cherish those roles. It does feel like a lot that like someone always needs something from me. And so I can easily see where giving alcohol that tiny opening to, oh, Todd's traveling, the kids are in bed. Now I can have that. What I was really looking for was that relief from, and am I choosing something that is going to like pay dividends down the road? Or am I really just setting myself up for just that temporary, you know, that easy button that I always, you know, like talk about? It's like that hit the easy button and then you're done. But what are the lasting effects of that? And so I can look back at myself from that time and say like, oh my gosh, you just didn't know that what you were looking for was relief and recharging that kind of like you need to be not around people sometimes to recharge. I know that something that I've learned through the last 5 years being free from alcohol is that when I'm feeling like disconnected from people in my, like I'm around people all the time, but there's this just feeling of like tension or disconnection. I know that I have learned that is my clue that I'm not connected to myself, that I'm not paying attention to my interior landscape, if you will, my thoughts and my feelings. And that's a good now clue for me to think about, oh, okay, this is, I need some time to be, you know, still and quiet and by myself so that I can reconnect really what now is turned into reconnection with the Lord. That's one of those learnings, I think, that comes from kind of freedom from alcohol. And it's something that I wish I had known then because it would have saved me. If I understood why I was doing that, like it could have saved me from being stuck in that trap and adding to it.
Responding to the heartfelt requests from you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners, for a deeper sense of community, we are so excited to introduce y'all to the But Jesus Drink Wine community.
Get ready to be part of an exclusive experience where you'll join a sisterhood of kindred spirits on a transformative journey of faith, sobriety, and personal growth.
You'll gain access to our private community, a place where deep connections can flourish among women who share your aspirations of strengthening faith in Christ and breaking free from alcohol.
But wait, there's more! We'll host regular connection calls to facilitate fellowship with like-minded gals. No matter where you stand on your alcohol or faith journey, whether you're seasoned or just curious, you are very warmly welcomed here.
Prepare to be inspired by guest expert sessions and engaging Q&As that explore the essential topics for your sobriety, faith, and holistic wellness journey.
Don't miss out on securing your spot. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.
We can't wait to see your beautiful face in the But Jesus Drank Wine community.
Yeah, that's so good, babe. I love that so much. I want you to say more about then, like, apart from getting still and being quiet, like, what do you do then to, like, reconnect with yourself when you're feeling like that?
Well, I mean, the simplest, quickest way is, like, get it. Well, you know me with my essential oils. Like, that is big for me. I must be. I was.
Wait a minute. Say the word oil again.
Oil? Oh. Well, oil. Essential oil.
What happened to the eye?
I know.
Oils.
Essential oil.
I know. Yeah. Is it a Southern thing that you're doing?
I don't know.
Or is this a Mead thing?
It's probably. The Southern notes do not want to be taken down by my little weird things. It's probably
say
just a new thing.
More but about your old. Say more about
it. I was having a little walk and talk with a girlfriend yesterday. That's a great way to reconnect too. Like getting out. So, okay, two things. Getting outside in nature, like feeling, there's something for me about feeling the wind, the cool air, preferably not the hot air, but in the middle of summer in Atlanta, but that cold air and moving my body, those are like instant ways. I mean, it's a grounding thing, right? Like it's a way of like getting into the present moment. And I was just talking to this girlfriend yesterday and she was saying the same thing. We must be like very olfactory, you know,
wired.
Exactly. Thank you. Because my essential oils, the smell, the scents are really powerful for me. And so that's one way that I can get connected to me and then like have that like pause. I mean, I also use my peace framework a lot where it's just like, I'm really disconnected. Okay. I'm going to pause and I'm going to just, you know, be, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to connect to my breath. I'm going to allow for what I'm feeling and thinking. And that gives me that chance to pay attention to my interior landscape. And that's when I noticed that like, oh, okay, I've been in the office for 4 hours, like going, you know, banging out all these tasks. I haven't had a chance to, and then, you know, the kids get home and, you know, and then Todd, and then what's for dinner and who's it? It's like, I'm disconnected from everybody else because I'm in that distracted hustle. So yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the walking
huge.
Of the dog. I love that so
it's
much.
So underrated. Yeah. Can we talk about how walking is so underrated?
It really is. It really, really is. And especially like, I mean, we're so lucky because we live right next to a big park. And again, it's like almost like the same as when I realize I don't start my day with the Bible or
yes.
prayer when I haven't been walking. I actually did it this morning. Like before you and I hit record, we were talking about how, you know, we both own small businesses. We're constantly like working, we're growing, we're writing books, we're like starting communities, we're doing all these things. And if I open my computer to do one thing, I will be at it for at least 3 or 4 hours. And so I've noticed that if I don't walk before I open my computer, I probably am not going to walk, right? Because then like the workday starts. And so it goes back to being really intentional, obviously.
Yes.
About our time, which is one of the things that living alcohol-free gives us. And to your point, another thing is just like the allowance of creating that space. The space
yes.
to like think about like our thoughts, right? And because they come so fast. And sometimes you get to the, like, you, I mean, at least I do. I get to a point where like, why am I worked up?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Where am I? Where am I? And before it would be like, just you either keep going or you drown it out. And now it's just so nice to be able to like stop, pause and figure out, okay, like why am I feeling this way? And come to it kind of that way is super, super helpful, I think.
Well, and that, yeah, that gift of space that and intentionality that you're talking about, that also lends us to being able to look at what's happening and not judge ourselves for when we do find that, okay, like my intention was not to fall down that rabbit hole of work tasks for 4 hours. Oh my gosh, I have been disconnected and I have been kind of distant from my family because I've been distracted by XYZ. And so I know a place for me in the past would have been, even if I had awareness for where I, which for so long I did not, but like even if I had awareness for it, I would have gotten stuck with, okay, well, of course you're not, you know, connected me. Look at you. Like, what are you doing? Like, I would have had that noise that then would have just kept me further and further stuck, compounding where I already was, which
yeah.
is where it makes it so easy to see why we can fall into those places of like, you know, secret drinking, how, you know, the way that we're defining it here. It's like, well, but we're looking for connection and we're looking for relief and we're looking for a way to, we're just looking in all the wrong places.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing, right? It drinking in secret, it brings about just, I mean, talk about shame.
Yes.
Right? Like the shame is huge. And yet, if you think about like the way that actually drinking in secret is even made really light of and look to be cute, right? Like I'll
yes.
never forget there's a bajillion of these on Instagram, but one of them that like really got to me was there was a gal filling up her like Stanley or whatever her travel mug thing with wine and putting a tea bag like label card thing out of it. So, and so, you know, like it looks like it's tea or iced tea or whatever, but it's wine. Wait, I haven't even gotten to the
I haven't even gotten to, calm down. I know.
And the caption was, where my sports mom's at. Mm. And I just, I mean, when I saw it, like hundreds, maybe not hundreds, but tens of thousands of likes of people being like, oh, don't forget to make sure you add the Lipton label, or like just stupid, you know, like making light of it, like making light of it. I mean, okay, side note, like, is this mom driving to soccer practice or wherever she's going? Okay, but like, let's just leave that out for a second. You know, it's just like making light of the drinking in secret, or, you know, the bloody Tropicana hat that we talked about when we talked about mommy wine culture. I know. I know. Let's bring, let's hide let's hide the orange juice and the champagne in the laundry room or the bathroom and drink it like away from our kids. Like, this is something, drinking is a secret. It's something that makes you feel so, so shameful. And yet, like, it's being made light of and making like fun of and making it look cute and hilarious. And it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
crazy and wild and crazy and wild. Yeah.
I didn't know our conversation would go here, but, you know, I am loving the excitement that I feel in the frustration, the normalization of drinking in secret. I will, because this is what it kind of reminds me of, is as long as I was enjoying drinking by myself, I did have that cognitive dissonance of like, is this okay? Is this not okay?
Yeah.
There was something there that was discomfort around it, because we know that, like, if you're kind of like, society has painted it as if you're going off and drinking by yourself, then you must, you know, have a problem, that you're one of them, like, quote unquote, alcoholic. Yeah. And so that was something that was really in my mind. And then we have this other picture that you've painted where it's like normalizing that that is okay, and just kind of like perpetuating that kind of secrecy and hiding, which, by the way, just even from a, you know, a spiritual standpoint, anything that is hidden and in the dark, I mean, that's where it's going to grow power and strength. And it's just a ticket to nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like I see both things and I'm like, I don't like either of them.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It is so true. I mean, COVID just, I think, did a number on this whole thing, because not only could you drink, even if you had like your whole family home, like everyone, I feel like, was finding ways, right, to drink in secret or like have the alcohol delivered in secret and all of that stuff. And like, to your point, the cognitive dissonance of like, well, I should be being a good, you know, good mom and present with my kids, but the only way to deal with this horrible thing that's going on in the world and to give me some relief is to drink this thing in private and secret. And I think it just obviously, as we both know, contributed to a whole new level of stuck for a lot of women.
But that's true. It's like, I guess what comes up for me as I come back to like the value of paying attention to discomfort or that internal just tension or stress. I always called it like my like, it was like that rub, that low-grade irritability or high-grade irritability, whatever you want to call it. Like, that was like what came as a result of it. But underneath that was this just tension. If we can pay attention to that tension, that conflict, then we turn to curiosity, and that allows us the forward movement out of the trap. Whereas if we're just continuing like in that autopilot way, we're just making it harder and harder and harder. Like, we're getting more and more stuck. Like, if your feet were only a little bit stuck, now you're a lot more stuck because of the way that like the shame and judgment, all of that like just piles on and then makes it harder to not do that thing later. I mean, we always talk about this with the, you know, waking up in the morning and like, okay, today's the day. Like, I am not going to drink tonight. And then 5 o'clock rolls around and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and it's that, well, I mean, but I have, you know, I've already broken my 30-day streak. So like, I might as well. So those are the things that are keeping us heading in the wrong direction. So it comes back to me to like, I wish that need of 2017 could have known that she could pay attention to what she was feeling and sensing, and that that she was feeling was not normal. And there was something there to discover that meant that she didn't have to get her relief only from drinking wine by herself when her husband traveled.
Yeah, I mean, and we always say this, like, you know, when we talk about, like, the unmet need or what we really need, and that we didn't even know that that was a question that we could ask ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like if there's a reader / listener who is drinking in secret and, like, wondering, like, kind of an easy what to do next, I think it's just that. I think that the asking what is the unmet need that you think that you're getting from the drinking, right, by yourself or in secret or any of that. And the other thing, too, like, which everybody should go back and listen to, because it was, like, literally one of the best episodes ever, was when Pastor David did values. And it's just, I mean, nothing made me feel further and further away from my true authentic self or my values or any of it than any sort of drinking in secret, or not even drinking in secret, but just drinking in a way that wasn't, you know, like, in the light, I guess. So,
Yeah. I also think of, like, just a simple, this is one of my, like, favorite tools. It's so underrated as a tool. So, a couple of things underrated today we're learning, Christy.
Walking
is underrated. And I'm so old right now. And a simple pros and cons list. Like, so if you're finding, you know, your relief for drinking in secret, like, what are the pros of that? What are the cons? And when anything that you put out on paper, there's just this really, again, like, maybe it's along these themes, the theme too of just bringing light to something and not keeping it hidden, but putting it out on paper and really seeing what the difference is, what you are getting. I mean, we talk about that just in the journey anyway. Yeah, normal drinking anyway, just really making that pros and cons. Like, what do you think you're getting and what are you actually getting? Because to your point with the values, I mean, if you're in conflict with what your values are, it's just creating more and more discomfort. And if you're not paying attention to it, that's when that easy, the way that the mind works, it's that, like, easy button escape. It's looking for relief. And so it's a lot harder to sit than say, okay, like, this is what I'm going to do instead.
I was just thinking about, like, how even when you're drinking in secret, like, you're not alone, right? When we're talking about, like, God being right next to you. And I love how Kristen said that on our episode with her about she would just think about God sitting right next to her when she was doing something. And, like, you're not alone. You know, you really, really aren't. And that is something that I think that as you grow in your faith and actually experience, like, it's definitely something that I feel like I knew in the back of my head when I was drinking, like, obviously God's always with me, but it wasn't something until later, you know, and in a real true and, like, tangible way. And so I guess that's just my encouragement for anybody that's, like, stick drinking in secret. Like, you're really not alone. And that's not like that you're not alone in a fact that, like, with a judgmental God sitting next to you, like, wagging his finger in your face. I knew you were going to say that.
You made my mind because I was like, I have something to say about this. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not saying that it's a judgmental God who's wagging his finger in your face. What I'm saying is, like, you have a friend and you have someone to talk to and you're not alone and you have someone to lean on and talk to and all of those things. Even, like, I remember saying prayers in, like, drunk prayers, you know, of, like, really, really? No, I probably shouldn't be, like, talking to you right now because I'm hammered. Like, literally, these were prayers. But yada, 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 right? So, I don't know, for what it's worth.
I love that. And I love that you brought that up because for me, 5 years ago, where my faith was and who I thought God was, my beliefs about him, and where I was a Christian tourist, a Christian name only, whatever. I knew, but I didn't know, like, in my heart, no, like, real truth. And so my idea of God, like, him being with me in those moments was not a comfort because I thought it was a scolding, like, he's watching me and he's there and look, there's another thing that you're doing wrong, Mead. And so it wasn't until my faith, you know, really grew and after finding freedom from alcohol that I learned to see God differently. Obviously, I learned more about his character and how that is not how he is. He's, you know, with loving kindness, he's with us and can be a comfort. And I've experienced that difference now, which is huge, which is why I think it, I always go back to too, like when you're not living from a place with Jesus and you're doing this journey, like you've talked about our cheat sheet before that we have, like we have this incredible cheat sheet in the Bible, like what is truth? And when we're talking about our beliefs and we're trying to figure out what we believe and, you know, just on a simple level and on a big level, it is really hard to, I think, move past any of the things that we have shame about from our drinking days or when we're stuck in that if we don't have Jesus, because it's just something that we keep bringing to the surface and pinpointing, but we're not ever feeling the grace and the love that comes from, you know, owning, taking responsibility for where we've screwed up and the things we've done, and then met with the compassion and the love that and the grace that he gives us as a result. So I wonder if there are listeners out there that are like, yeah, but when you say God is with you, that is what they're picturing. Like, yeah, I'm getting a scolding, so I can't access God with me. But I guess I just want to say, if that is you, I can so relate, because that was absolutely me. And yeah. Now this way being different, I would just say stay open to learning more about God's character. And what if he's not there scolding you? What if he is there to be comfort? What would be different?
Yeah, I love that so much. And I feel like that's a great Tiny Tina for this episode. Like, just ask that question. And also just ask the question of like, what is it that you really need? What is the unmet need behind the drinking in secret? And maybe do a pros and cons list, like you mentioned. Like, what is it really giving you and what is it really taking away? And just to add another seven, like Tiny Tina number 17, go back and listen to the values episode from Pastor David if you haven't, because it's like really affected, I think, so many people in a good way from our responses that we've gotten. And I feel like if you're talking about drinking in secret, like you have to talk about like values and what's important to you and like all of that good stuff.
Okay, Tiny Tina number 18, I would just like to say, phone a friend. Pick one person that you can tell that you either, I did this when I was finally like, I think Todd had been out of town. I've got to go back to my journals and see. Like, I hit my crescendo with my drinking career where I'm like, this is not working. And I think he'd been out of town and I drank by myself, watching my shows. And I went to a children's council meeting at church on that Monday morning. And I was so worried that everyone was going to smell the wine that was on my breath. And I mean, I didn't even drink a ton. I still didn't finish the whole bottle maybe, but I drank enough and I was by myself and I had enough of that like discomfort around it. Anyway, all that to say, I felt really stuck. And what did I called my girlfriend, Jen. I called the one person, and I mean, maybe I have others, but she was the one person I thought of that I was like, I can call and I can tell and I can say this out loud. And saying out loud to somebody, so whether it's you're stuck in the drinking cycle or you're drinking in secret or whatever the thing is that you're holding on to, that you're just, like really, really afraid to admit, saying out loud to her that like, I'm drinking more than I want to be drinking and this isn't working and I don't know what I'm going to do about it. And I don't want you to like offer solutions. I don't want you to give me advice. I just had to tell somebody. And she held that with like so much love and grace and helped me learn about God's character in that moment, because as a sister in Christ, she responded in the way, in a loving way as Jesus would. And so let's not underestimate the power of being able to share with a trusted friend, one person, saying it out loud. I think that's really powerful. And Kristen talked about that too, I think, when that story she told about telling her preacher.
Yeah.
So powerful.
And I'm 100% serious. And if you don't have a trusted friend, reach out to one of us. Like, honestly, we do respond to every single like message that we get. And it doesn't mean that you're signing a coaching contract and doesn't mean you're joining a community. It just, I will voice note you back, you know, if you DM me, and Mead will definitely send a telegram via a typewriter. I'm just kidding. I love him.
I'm good with that.
Mead definitely responds to all her messages as well. So we're also here for you. And this is a good episode. I liked it.
You see how she's trying to wrap me, guys? She's like, that's, I'm trying to wrap us and you keep going. Thank goodness I'm not the keeper of the time. I'll let you wrap us, Christy.
That was good.
I know.
That was the that me.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for listening, y'all. I love you.
See you next Monday or whatever day you normally listen to your podcast.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us again this week. You can find all of our episodes at butjesusdrinkwine.com and be sure to follow us over on Instagram, Love Life Sober, and I'm Not Sober, I'm Free.
To learn more about what we do, you can visit our websites, meethallandshirley.com and lovelifesober.com.
Take a screenshot of this podcast and share it with a friend or two.
And don't forget to subscribe to our pod so you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. And if you love what we're doing, please leave us a review on Apple and Spotify.
This helps more women who are feeling stuck and alone in the overdrinking cycle find hope and encouragement.
Thanks, ladies. We so appreciate you. And we'll see you next Monday.